Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Live, starting the week in Hockey Central, the HC Studios, Darren Millard here with Louis DeBrusque and Scott Morrison to kick off this week. It's a busy night. It's Thanksgiving week in the United States, so things are jammed up over the next few days. Nashville, the Rangers on Sportsnet 1 tonight. Edmonton and Washington on Sportsnet Oilers. And Boston and Toronto, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can watch all the action tonight, including Winnipeg at home to Colorado on Game Center Live. We'll get to the rest of the action in just a bit. Jason York of the Montreal Canadiens broadcast will join us in about 10 minutes' time to bring us up to date just what the Montreal Canadiens will do with another injury. This time it's up front. And the rise of the youth in that team and how it's so balanced out. Oilers, Leon Draisaitl, Taylor Hall continue their run. They're in action tonight against Washington. Of course, Louis DeBrusque, well-versed with the Edmonton Oilers. Get into that. They're 30th right now, but it doesn't feel like they're 30th. But then you look at the standings and you go, Austin Matthews? Could it really be? And Jim Neal, Dallas Stars general manager, will pop on as they get off to a franchise record start. The Toronto Maple Leafs against the Boston Bruins tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We've got it for you, the pregame show with Gorz Delek, Todd Luschko, pregame at 7 o'clock. They go 1-1 on the weekend. And the one loss was what you deem a good loss with James Reimer continuing his strong play, Scotty.
Yeah, Reimer's been a tremendous story for the Leafs. And, you know, Bernier's going to have to battle to get back in that goal, but credit to James Reimer. I mean, we've seen it throughout his career. It's just, I mean, he's a good kid to start with. Nobody gives him any kind of recognition, acknowledgement, but he just battles, plays hard, and more often than not finds a way to get it done, and he's just on a roll right now, so it's good to see for him.
And even more impressive for me is just with some of the negative press that's come his way over the years, yeah, too, and especially in the goaltender situation, how he's been able to handle it.
Forever doubted.
Exactly. And just to be able to put your best face forward, kind of, so to speak, and go out there and play the way he plays, you know, some great hockey for him. And this is exactly what you want if you're the Leafs. You know what? They need someone to step forward and say, I'm the guy. He's right now saying, I'm the guy.
How tough are back-to-back games?
You know what? I didn't play a whole ton, so they weren't as tough for me. So, but yeah, you know.
I ask you this with the follow-up coming.
Yep. Follow-up.
Mike Babcock says it's because of television that the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing so many back-to-backs. They have 16 this year.
He's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. The team he left
17 or 18,
has more
right?
back-to-backs this year than the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't know whether it's whining, whether it's playing mind games, but
He announced pretty early that he declared that this was the worst schedule he'd ever seen when he looked at the Leafs schedule when he signed his $50 million contract.
Overall travel, they don't, their miles are low.
Yeah.
So is it making excuses?
No, I think, you know, I think it's, listen, he wants to be heard. He wants to be the guy, the voice of reason for his team. He knows he has some pull in this league. And he wants to also make it known that he's not going to just sit here and if the schedule isn't to the liking of the organization, that maybe they can change it a little bit. But listen, like you said, every team goes through this. And back-to-back situations, you know, I looked down the schedule just to kind of go through it to see exactly what he was talking about. And, you know, they played 3 and 4 to start things off. Then they had 5 days off. You know, they played 2 games in the span of a week after that. Like, there have been breaks there where they can get their rest.
They had a six-game break in December.
Exactly. You know, like, I think November, yes, break, November has been a grind. I do think that if they've been winning these games, we wouldn't be having this conversation because nobody's going to make a fuss about it. But
they're winless in the back half of the game.
They've got 16 back-to-backs. Yeah. Columbus has 18. Detroit, Rangers, and Penguins have 17.
Yeah. And, you know, Lou Lamoriello came out and said the same thing. You know, he said, you know, they look at it. They're going to talk about it. They're going to fight for better schedules. And I have no problem with that. For organizations wanting to have the best schedule possible, I get it. But, you know, back-to-back situations with the rest that players can get, with the travel being less than it ever was. I came from the Western Conference, you know, and when I first went to the East to play in Tampa Bay, I couldn't believe the difference in travel. It was remarkable how much less travel there was. So they can't really cry wolf about the travel to the Western teams. It's not even close, not even comparable. So they need to just
Well, I think it's less about the travel and the fact that when you play back-to-back, you're just not as fresh. You're a tired team, especially if the other team is waiting for you.
And I get that. And I think, you know, especially, you know, the top players, you know. But I looked at the stats from the last few games here, and Mike Babcock's always been really good at utilizing four lines. You know, in today's game, you have to have that four-line system where you're rolling lines. I think Daniel Winnick on the Friday night game was the lowest forward, and I think it was Marincin that was the lowest defenseman in ice time. So, you know, if you're getting 10 to 12 minutes from every player, they should be able to repeat that again the next night. You can then shorten the bench a little bit more in the second night if you have to, if it's a close game. And they did play two close games. You know, you look at it, they were right in both of them. The Boston game could have gone either way.
And they're always going to have scheduling challenges because, one, of TV, Saturday nights, and because you have another tenant in your building. They got to schedule around the basketball team
as well.
I guess
I was just surprised he went there.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know what? I think it also shows that he's got his team's back. Mm-hmm. You know, for Babcock, he's also a guy that wants to let his players know, I'm fighting in every single aspect of this game to try and make it better for you. I mean, isn't that what you want from your head coach? I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the sense that it's not just about the practices on the ice and the ice time and the power play and the penalty kill. It's also about the other things. We're going to try as much as we can to make this the best possible situation.
Darren Millard, along with Scott Morrison and Louis DeBrusque, who is part of Hockey Central, also works with Gene Principe and the Edmonton Oilers broadcast on Sportsnet West. Scott and I go across the border. We line up. We wait, whether we're in, whether it's air travel, we're in that long line, whether it's crossing the border in a vehicle.
I have a Nexus card. I'm not in the long line anymore.
But there's still a line.
That's you good. Go, I need to get one of those.
You go across the border as an athlete.
Yeah.
How long does it really take?
Yeah, and again, and you know, to shed some light on it here, yes, there are some situations where it's a little bit longer, but the process now is so much different. A lot of times, once you're in the States, you're doing it at the rink, typically after the game. These buses are going right on the tarmac, right to the plane. There's a little separate hub most times for you to get screened and get done. There are definitely some luxuries being a sports team, being a professional team, and traveling the way they do with charters. There is still some time, but it's not nearly the amount of time that you or I just going down to a vacation in Florida.
Lou Lamoriello said there's also the customs aspect of traveling.
There is. It's there, but I
don't see it being overwhelming.
I don't see it being a big situation. Yeah, I just don't see it being that big of a deal.
And you know,
and yet, you know, when you talk about, certainly in, you know, when they talk about free agents in baseball and basketball, one of the things that always comes up is the border and the time, you know, customs and all of that. And I don't know if it's real or imagined, but I'm thinking it's more imagined than a real pain.
Is the Toronto Maple Leaf season what you thought the Edmonton Oilers year would look like?
They should be in reverse positions. Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. I would say so. Yeah,
there's certainly a similarity there for sure. I think there's some comparisons you can make there and kind of think they were going to come out the same way. But I look at Edmonton's year, to be honest with you, and it's again a situation where injuries have caught up to them again and it's plagued them. And it just has been a situation where they haven't been able to put a full healthy roster on the ice. Good teams are able to weather those storms. Bad teams aren't. And they haven't quite gotten to that good team stage yet.
Because you look down and you go, no way. Matthews. and the National Hockey League hits the quarter pole of their season. It goes in reverse to horse racing.
So you're saying
there's
a chance.
You hit the quarter pole first and horse racing hit it last.
What's been your assessment of their goaltending?
You know, what I thought early on, it was real solid. I thought Cam Talbot in his first few starts gave them a chance and was – you know, strong, you know, was the guy that wanted to battle in there. Nielsen came in and had some strong starts as well and started to push for that spot. Talbot's, you know, last 6-7 starts haven't been that great. And he's allowed too many goals against. And it's not necessarily the goals against, but those timely goals. Mm-hmm. So those ones that are in a situation where you're trying not to give them the extra one, you just tied the game. Those are so deflating for a team. So the goaltending hasn't quite been where we thought it was going to be. From the outside looking in, I thought they made some changes. They made some hard decisions with putting Scrivens down in the American Hockey League. They went with Nielsen. They went with Talbot. They wanted to give Talbot the reins and say, here you go. Has he grasped it? I don't think so. And I think they wanted to run with Nielsen a little bit because he came in and played some good games. And I think it's still up, on the drawing board who's going to be the guy to emerge as the number one.
What have you seen out of the exposure that you've had to Darnell Nurse?
I like him a lot. I like his compete. And we throw that word around, you know, quite a bit. But for Darnell, that's the extra edge that he has. You know, it's that extra little edge where the opposition knows they're playing against a tough opponent. And you know, guys that I've played with over the years, you know, Jeremy Rona, Keith Kachuk, Dougie Waite, you know, anybody, like any good players that, you know, are going up against the top matchups every night, they always know who the hard guys to play against are. And Darnell Nurse right now is making a name for himself as a guy that's not going to just let the Crosbys, the Ovechkins, and these guys run around. He's going to make difficult night.
He gets in your grill a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
There's some nastiness. He doesn't back down.
And look at this. You know, the kid can skate. And that's what, and you know, it's funny. People think, well, you just need to be mean and tough to play defense. It's not just that. He has the mobility to be able to stick with the great skaters in the game.
The body reminds me of Pronger.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Tall, lanky, yep.
Here's Jason York, Montreal Canadiens color analyst. We'll get back to the Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs in just a bit. But Jason, can you just give some love to Louis here? Because he's been doing Oilers games for 8 years. They've had bad injuries every year. And you know what's happened in the standings. And then you roll in here with your four regulation losses and your goalie goes down and it doesn't matter because Mike Condon steps up. And like, can you just share some of that good fortune with Louis?
I'll tell you what, Louis probably had to work extremely hard because it's easy to cover a team when things are good. Trying to find positives when things have been... but things are looking up in Edmonton. I heard Louis talking about Darnell Nurse, and I was at Edmonton 3 weeks ago. He's impressive. That kid is quite the specimen, and he's going to be a heck of a player. So they just need a couple more B, and then they're all set.
Carey Price, what did you think of his game coming off the extended injury?
Yeah, we did. We were in New Jersey for that one. Brooklyn. Yep. And how about that rink? It's got a green roof. It's got one of those eco-friendly roofs. But Price,
and how about the vehicle beside the glass?
Yeah, did you see that? That's a tough rink. And for Carey to come back and have his first game, the backdrops, the one side that when you're the visiting goaltender, you're looking at a black backdrop. And Darren, you're a goalie. That's got to be tough because you got the black puck coming at you, and it's all black, which you're looking off into the other side of the rink. So for Price, a little bit of an adjustment coming back and playing in that new building that's built for basketball in Brooklyn. But he was a little rusty at first. He had a couple times when he was going post to post that he actually fell down. And a couple of mishandles with the puck. But as that game went along, Carey Price was excellent in the third period, made some big saves. And he's just so calm. Like, when I watch him, that's the big thing with Price. He could be having a cigar back there. He's just – remember the All-Star game last year? He was mic'd. He was chipping. And I don't think his pulse goes up that much. He's just – he really is an unbelievable talent.
That Brooklyn Arena is like the old Washington Capitals Arena in Landover, Washington. Yeah. Remember that? It was everything was pitch black around the ice. Really tough for the goalies.
It makes it difficult to see that puck, especially rebounds, pucks that get up above the crossbar when they come down into the slot. It is, and dumps especially too. When you're dumping pucks in from a forward perspective, sometimes it's hard to pick it up off the glass as well.
So Jason, a bit of a challenge now for Canadians up front. I mean, they were already, I want to say, a right winger short. I know they had the call up on the weekend, and now Gallagher goes down. They've got a few issues up there now.
Yeah, they do, Scott. And with Price, I don't think anybody foresaw the come in and do that. They really bear down and play and tightened up defensively. But for Gallagher, he is, well, Pacioretty is the most talented forward. Maybe Galchenyuk, but he's still young. And Subban is their guy on defense. And Petrie's been a great addition. But Gallagher is the guy that provides the energy. I call him the lightning rod. And he just brings that dimension. He's always in front of the net. So that's something that they're not going to be able to replace anywhere in that organization. Every team has that guy that provides the spark energy. For Montreal, it's Gallagher. So I think that's going to be a huge loss. He drives the other team nuts, especially the other team's goaltender. They're really going to miss him. They don't have anybody that can replace him. So that's going to be very difficult. As far as scoring, because Gallagher's been hot lately as well, Semin hasn't been the answer. He's having a tough time keeping up. I know Michel Therrien, he's benched him a couple times, but he's not going to be the answer. Andrew Ghetto was pretty good last night. He had some moments where he showed some great speed, some spark. He had some good chances. I would think he might get an opportunity to go in there and maybe get some of those minutes, maybe even on the power play.
When you look at Gallagher, and you're right, opposition goaltenders are going to be able to dig in a little bit and not worry about this buzzsaw flying around the net and goalie interference. So how do they generate their offense without him?
Well, most of their power play comes from Subban and Markov on the point. So I think they'll be okay as far as puck possession, but they're going to have to find that net threat presence. And you look up and down. Well, the good thing is maybe Dale Weiss.
Yeah, right? That's the guy I thought, too.
How about that, guys? The season he's been having so far. Weiss is going to get some more power play time. And for the season he's having and contract year coming up, he's got to be licking his chops right now. So when one player goes down, it's another player's opportunity. I think Weiss, he'll be the guy that gets more looks on the power play, maybe a little longer. He plays the second half, but now maybe he gets on for more of that first half. And the other thing, Galchenyuk finally scored last night. So he's going to get some more opportunities. He was only playing, I believe, around 14 minutes a night. And I think his ice time is going to go up. And a little bit of mixing and matching. He's a center. Maybe he'll jump on the wing for maybe part of the power play with Plekanec and Pacioretty. And they really need him to keep scoring. So he'll get some more opportunities as well.
What do you think of Galchenyuk's play? We've talked, I mean, you know, we do a lot of Canadians games together, and we talk a lot about that second line and the absence of a right winger. But overall, what do you think of that experiment of him at up the middle?
You know, I watch him, and he seems to create so much when he gets out wide on the wing. And he had the game we did in Brooklyn, he took the puck wide, and, you know, when you drop the shoulder and you drive to the net, I just think he's such a strong guy, and I like him on the wing. I get the fact that Montreal wants to have that big center iceman down the middle. I'm not sure, though. I'm not sold as him as a centerman. And I find when he gets in the middle, there's too much east-west. He's a guy that likes to come up to the blue line, and Louis can attest. It's tough to play with guys when they get to the blue line and they like to cut across because everybody has to stop.
Yep.
And I think he might be a winger, but time will tell. He's still young. And the big thing for me, I hear this all the time, he doesn't have anybody to play with. He doesn't have anybody to play with. Well, for me, the best players make guys around them better, and you shouldn't have to have somebody to play with.
Jason York is with us, the Montreal Canadiens color analyst. Start with Louis, and then, Jason, you come back at the end of this. What about a guy that cuts across the middle? Do you, after going offside, like the third time, do you say stop doing it, or do you adjust your game?
That's the thing. You're always waiting for it. So instead of hitting that line at full speed, and that's really where you can make some noise coming to the offensive zone. As a winger, you want to drive to the post. You want to push the defense back and then make that move a little bit after the blue line if you want to cut to the middle. If you're doing it around the blue line, and you know, Neil Yakupov, prime example in Edmonton, a lot of times he wants to make that last move at the line, and guys are going offside because they're just – you don't have the time to kind of slow down and think. You want to just go. So it makes it difficult, and being a more north and south would be a little more beneficial for Galchenyuk. I agree. I don't think it's a problem if he's a good winger. What's the I don't know why we have this emphasis on wanting to make a guy a centerman so much. If the guy's a great winger, let him be a great winger.
Louis, the way the game's played now, it's F1, F2, F3. Like, the centerman just basically takes the faceoff.
Yeah,
and he doesn't take all of those either.
They intermix all out there all the time.
Absolutely. So who's ever first back in the zone on the back check plays center. Like, it's we make such a big deal out about who's playing center in the league, but it's now F1, F2, F3. So as soon as the puck's dropped, you could be, depending on the back check or the forecheck, a lot of wingers will have to play center sometimes, and a lot of times they do because they're better defensively than some of their center icemen.
Well, you know what? And the way everybody collapses now, as everybody's a defenseman in the defensive zone as well. Yep. Like, everybody's in the nucleus of the defensive zone. So, I mean, it's not like you're, you know, back in the day, you'd marry that defenseman. That was Al MacInnis back there, or Jason York, let's say. You're marrying yourself to him. You're not going to let him come down into the slot, right? But it's just a different game.
I don't think so.
Jason, if you started the power play, how long would you necessarily stay out for those 2 minutes?
It depends. If you know you are the go-to guy and you're the number one D on that team and you're making the most money, you don't have a problem with staying out a minute 30. You see Carlson and Subban actually a couple games ago, I think they had 5 power plays, played 10 minutes of the power play.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is that his call?
A little bit of his. I know a lot of coaches, even if you're the go-to guy, you give a guy the last 20 seconds of the power play. So I don't know. I'm not in the room. I've never asked PK that, but I remember, I know the exact game. I believe it was the Brooklyn game or before that, but Petrie comes on for the second part of the power play. And I actually love Petrie on the power play because I love the righty-righty mix. And I wish more teams would go to it because you have one-timers everywhere.
Big time.
And every time Petrie gets a sniff, he makes something happen. But the problem is Markov's so good too. So those are the three guys they play. I know, Bull, you would probably like to get a couple more looks, but Montreal's power play has been great this year. So I guess they're thinking, why mess with a good thing?
Canadiens' third line, the best in the NHL right now? Desharnais with Weiss and Fleischman. Fleischman's been a real revelation for them.
Hasn't he been something? How about the goal last night? With him, he is so good at stripping players of the pucks. And last night, he had the strip. I think it was Opozo. He stripped him, went in. And to finish, he has been, what's he making, guys? About $750 this year?
Bargain.
That's got to be the best bang for your buck in the NHL right now. And the big thing for me, though, Desharnais, he's not a third-line center.
Yeah.
He's a 1A or a number 2, and he's just been eating up the matchups he's getting on that third line.
So along those lines, same thing. You talked about the defense, one of the strongest defense corps in the National Hockey League, the best goalie in the game right now in Carey Price. We always say good teams, when they go through adversity, have injuries, they just are able to adapt. They're able to kind of solidify and weather the storm. Do you think the Canadiens are in a position now to be able to do that, especially with Gallagher going down now with an injury?
It's going to be tougher. Well, in saying that, everybody thought Montreal was as good as Carey Price was. And if he was gone out of the lineup, we all heard it, they wouldn't be able to win. So they proved they could do that, which I thought was huge. That was a statement to the rest of the league. Gallagher is going to be tough because it's a different thing, as I mentioned, with the energy. But I think they'll be fine. And we all know you win in this league with goaltending. And Carey Price is the best in the world. We saw what we did last year. And I think they'll be fine. I think they can lean on Price a little bit. They're not going to score as much, but who knows?
And I said
Dale Weiss is scoring for
that guy just keeps surprising, doesn't he?
But they've been able to roll four lines and get production from four lines.
And Scott, maybe a guy like Devontae Smith-Pelly, you've done a lot of games, and he's looked really good. He just hasn't had a lot of puck luck. So maybe he gets a chance. And remember when he was with Anaheim, he used to go up and play with Getzlaff and Perry from time to time. He was good.
Right.
He's a guy that can get to the front of the net.
Maybe he can be that energy guy.
Maybe he can be that guy. He hits and he gets in on the forecheck. So he kind of slipped my mind earlier when we were talking about guys that can move up there. Look at Smith-Pelly. He's a right shot. Gallagher's out. That's a great opportunity for a guy like Devontae to an injury. All of a sudden he's, hey, maybe I can be the guy that can go in there and get the job done.
He is Sportsnet's Montreal Canadiens color analyst, Jason York, with us with Darren Millard, Louis DeBrusque, and Scott Morrison on Hockey Central at noon. I got the real sense that some chests were puffed out when Carey Price went down and the team was able to do what they did and be so successful, that as much as they love Carey Price as a teammate, that they enjoyed a moment for themselves as defensemen and forwards.
I think you're exactly right, Darren. And one of the players on Montreal that never says anything, he leaves. He likes to get out of that room quickly, and he's a shy guy, doesn't say much, but a good player is Thomas Plekanec. You remember at the beginning of the season what he said? He goes, we are more than just Carey Price. And I think for guys like that that have been on this team for a long time, they hear it. They hear that what the league says about him. I think it's huge. I think that was a statement. And I think when Carey went down, I'm sure as a group, they probably got together and said, this is a good opportunity for us to prove that we can win without our best player.
Having said that, they were really starting to miss him those last couple of games before he came back.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we did a couple of those games, Scott. And Mike Condon, for as good as he played, he's not Carey Price.
No.
He just isn't. And there's maybe a couple of those games that with Price and net, they probably could have won. Condon had a couple issues with rebounds. But, hey, he's not Price. He's goalie, and he's done a pretty good job.
It was a heck of a story, that's for sure.
I always say there's no bad rebounds. If there's a rebound there, that means the goalie stopped the first one. So
there was one in the Arizona game where he had a routine glover and he kind of pushed it right out to Shane Doan. That was a bad rebound.
We talk about rebound control all the time. The great ones don't seem to really give you that real juicy one right in front of them.
And Carey Price, did he look comfortable again last night after just a second game back. Thanks, Jason. We have to do this more often.
Anytime, guys. My pleasure.
There's Jason York of the NHL-leading Montreal Canadiens. You just come on here. You can talk about first-place teams
all
the time.
Yeah.
It's easy.
It's an easy gig.
When we continue.
Jeff Petrie and what he's meant to that blue line on that Canadiens team.
Yeah. Do you see a different Jeff Petrie, or is it just being with a deeper core?
Well, I see, two things. I see I've always been a Petrie fan, and I've always felt that he's had a lot of game to offer. Just what he did in Edmonton, again, under the circumstances there, I think he was criticized for a lot of things, and we didn't look at the positives all the time of what he was doing. Goes to Montreal, there's guys there that he can now play with that can support him, take those minutes away from him, and he's just another guy there in the mix. But what I saw in the game, especially the last game against Boston, was I see just a freer Jeff Petrie. Does that make sense?
Go deeper than that.
I see a guy that now I've never seen him jump up as much into play, open up for that one-timer. Like, he's looking to offense more. When you're a bad team, like he was in Edmonton, listen, they were a bad team for the years that he was there. You're always struggling to keep pucks out of your net. So defense is priority number one. That's all you're thinking about, and it can consume you as a player. In Montreal, he's got the luxury now of getting up into the action.
And they encourage the defense to get in on the rush, and especially because you've got the guy between the pipes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It all goes together. So I'm seeing him, and that's, to me, when he's playing his best. That is where he really flourishes. One of the best big skaters in the game. Jeff Petrie, I've always said, when he first came in the league for a big, tall, lanky guy, incredible skater, has great mobility. When he puts it together, he's something special.
What I like about Jeff Petrie was he bet on himself.
Yeah.
He said, I want to go to a playoff team at last year's deadline. I want to go to a playoff team. I want to show everybody what I can do, not in a regular season, but when everything's on the line. And he did that, and he was rewarded for it.
Well, and the team stepped up before he got to free agency, too, and he signed the deal.
So I
love
a guy
from his dad, Dan, like that pressure cooker.
Maybe you were a Tigers fan, and that's why you always liked him.
You know what? Good on him. You're right. Yep. That's not an easy situation.
No.
To go into especially Montreal, and play the way he did in the playoffs, and by the end of it, he was their top minute guy, I think.
Jim Neal, Dallas Stars general manager, is coming up. One of the great stories from the Western Conference this season. Did he expect this, or what did he see coming down the pipe for his Dallas Stars? It's Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard, Louis DeBrusque, and Scott Morrison. We continue on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Overtime to Hockey Central at noon. Welcome back to the studio along with Scott Morrison and Louis DeBrusque. I'm Darren Millard. Get right to it. Jim Neal, the Dallas Stars general manager. You know, last year, maybe the year before, Jim, we would have had some preamble before we got to you. But when you guys have roasted out to a 17-4 record, we got to get right to you.
Well, I don't know if we're roasting, but...
I think you're roasting. You're hot.
The league is so close and so tight. And, every night's a battle. We've been fortunate. We've been on the winning end, but we could be on the losing end of some of these too. But our guys are sticking with it. They're buying into what the coaches are asking them to do, and it's been a good start.
Are you somewhat surprised by it?
Yeah, I think you're surprised in everything in this game. We liked what we put together over the summer, and then you go into the exhibition games. I think we're 1-6 in the exhibition games, so you're scared to death. If you look back our record from about the middle of December last year till now, our record has been unbelievable. Our guys really bought into it. We got off to a real bad start last year. The first month and a half, we were bad defensively. We weren't taking care of business. And by the middle of December, the guys had bought into it, how they had to play. And we've really been pretty good ever since then.
Along with Jim Neal, this is Darren Millard, Louis DeBrusque, and Scott Morrison on Hockey Central.
Hi, Jim. How you doing? Louis here. I wanted to talk about Jamie Benn a little bit. He's just one of those players that just seems to continually get better every year, and he has everything you want to see in a power forward, skilled player, size, skill set. He's got that mentality. He's got an edge. Just your perspective of him on how he's kind of blossomed into the guy that he is.
Well, I'm happy he's on our team, put it that way. He's, you know, when I first came here, I knew who Jamie was, you know, playing against him in Detroit and stuff, and he was a good player. But, you know, we had some good meetings the year I got here, sat down over the summer. You know, he knew the Olympics were coming up. He wanted to be part of that, but he wasn't initially invited to that camp. So we had some good discussions, you know, why you aren't there, what you need to do. And then the other thing I asked him was to take on the leadership role. And it has been so you're just so proud of some guys. You know, like Jamie Benn's a guy, he does things right on and off the ice. You know, it's how he conducts himself. He's personable. He's not loud and boisterous. You meet him on the street, he'd do anything for you. And it just makes you so happy when you see guys that do things the right way and they get rewarded. And that's what Jamie Benn is. He does it on the ice when we need a big goal, a big moment. He steps up. He can play any game you want to play. If it's finesse, power forward, he's probably as tough as anybody in the league. Mm-hmm. And then he's grown into this leadership role. He's our captain, and he is the ultimate captain right now.
Jim Nill's with us, the general manager of the Dallas Stars, who are right now leading the Western Conference. When you said that you sat down and you talked to him outside of leadership, you told him what he needed to do. What were those things?
Well, I think it's just, you know, he was still young, and it's getting that commitment. It's you know, I asked the guys, you know, it's living your life every day, you know, not only on the ice but off the ice, and it's being a professional. It's your training habits, it's your eating habits, it's the whole package. It's doing things right, it's treating people right, and he knew that, but he was still young, and he started to he bought into it. He took it. He's the guy that did it. He put the work in, and it's paid off for him.
Your goaltending's been pretty much split down the middle. You don't see a lot of that anymore in the National Hockey League. Can guys coexist that way?
Well, we think they can. That was our game plan. You know, we went into the summer. Kari Lehtinen's had to play 70 out of 82 games almost every year since I've been here, and I did some research even before I got here, and that's asking a lot of a guy to do, especially in today's game. And then on top of it, our travel down here in Dallas is tough. You know, we're 2 hours to everywhere, pretty well, 2 to 4 hours to everywhere. And we get on these back-to-back games. You know, we're getting in at, if we're playing Chicago in a back-to-back, we're getting at 3 in the morning, playing a 5 o'clock game the next day. That's hard. It's a lot of pressure on a goalie. And so we sat down, and we knew we had to alleviate that problem. I talked to Kari, and once we had an opportunity to possibly sign Niemi, you know, I make sure I talked to Kari and said, here's the guy that we have a chance to bring in. We're fortunate they played together as young. They were teammates, as I think, when they're 10 years of age, over in Finland, so they knew each other. And he was excited about it, the opportunity to, you know, get fresh, have practice time when you don't get practice time, and vice versa. And you know, so it's worked out well for us. They've both bought into it. They really do enjoy the practice time. You know, they're both playing 2 or 3 games in a row, and then they get to 3 or 4 days of practice, gets their game sharp again, and it's just worked out so far.
You know, Jim, you talked about Jamie Benn doing things right on and off the ice. There's another player for you that is doing things right from the back end. That's John Klingberg, and he's one of those players that just, he seems to make the right decisions every time he's on the ice, and he's really blossomed. And, you know, you can't keep him a secret anymore out there in Dallas. He's that good of a player.
No, he's a special player. His hockey sense is off the charts. He's got ice in his veins. A very deceptive skater. You watch him and you think, oh, he looks weak and his skating's not very good. It's amazing his lateral mobility and how he can get away from guys. And he's going to be a special player. And he's you know, we talked about the Bens, the Sagans, the Spezzas, and the Sharps, and we had a long list of some pretty great players, but he's really been a big part of changing our team. And, you know, I talked earlier in our conversations about how we changed in December. We brought him up. It was right around the end of November when we brought him up, and he's a big part of when our team changed.
You got to see one of the greatest ever in Detroit, Nicholas Lidstrom, play the game, his countryman. Do you see any similarities between Klingberg and the way Lidstrom kind of approached the game? Is there anything there that you can take from that?
Yeah, you know, I always want to be careful when you start talking about
absolutely.
Nick Lidstrom.
Yeah, absolutely.
As good as they can be, but John Klingberg, he does have some of those same, he's got that, some guys can just slow the game down. You know, we can open up a whole book. We talk about Gretzky's and Lemieux and Lidstrom's and these guys. They have that knack of they I was never there, so I don't know what it was like. But yeah. I think, you know, you and I, we all of us, we sit up high and watch hockey games. I think that's what these guys see on the ice.
Yep.
They have that knack. They slow the game down. They're never under pressure. There can be three guys coming at them, and they know it, and they know where everybody else is at, so they can make the right pass. And he does have that. He has that hockey sense and vision to him.
He was on with us earlier this year. I didn't realize it, but he was a forward until he was 15. You might want to go find that coach and hire him to have the foresight to move him back to the blue line when he was 15.
No, that's right. I get all my scouts looking at forwards now for defensemen.
Congratulations. It's been a lot of fun to watch. You brought in some guys with Stanley Cup pedigree and Oduya and Sharp, and it's really fit in. This is a team that's drafted well. This organization's drafted well. You're paying the reaping the benefits of that, but you've also had a major play in this in trading for a lot of guys, and that's tough to do in this NHL right now, and it's working out for you. So congratulations, Jimmy.
Right, thanks a lot, guys. You guys take care. All the best.
Jim Nill, am I wrong? Does he not sound like Ken Holland when you're talking to him?
I just love his demeanor. Yeah. You know what, you can really and I love the way he played the game. You know, coming up for me as a young guy, I was a physical player. Jim Nill was, you know, I used to watch him, the way he played the game hard, the way he scrapped. He was a competitor. But when you listen to him off the ice, it's amazing how he's able to kind of break things down.
So Jimmy sounds like Kenny.
Yep.
Blashill sounds like Babcock.
Yeah. Clones.
Something's in the water.
Well, you know,
in Detroit,
when you're organization, right about that, I'll tell you what, you want to duplicate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that organization, you talk about the tree, the family tree, if you will, and you think about the talent that off-ice talent that Todd organization
McClellan.
Has developed over the years.
McClellan.
Yeah.
Tonight in the NHL, on Sportsnet 1, Ontario, Eastern Pacific, the Rangers at home against the Nashville Predators. New York is having a great start to their campaign. Washington at home to Edmonton on Sportsnet Oilers. You working that one, Louis?
Yep.
And we'll see what they scored 7 goals the other night, Washington.
Tell you
and,
what,
and
high Ovechkin, octane.
Ovechkin didn't score.
Yeah, and that's the scary part.
But Dmitry Orlov did.
Yes.
And if you have not seen this and you're in your car, take a mental note to Google it or to go on NHL.com and watch the goal that Dmitry Orlov scored against the Colorado Avalanche the other night. He pulls off a great dangle, goes in on the glove side of Calvin Pickard, does not score. Pickard freezes like he's got the puck, so everybody else stops. And Orlov, with the puck on a stick, goes into the corner, regroups, comes back out front, and scores.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. What's really impressive on there is that the referee lose the puck on the play. Because there could have easily have been a whistle.
Well, how many times do we say that was blown down too quickly? And this one here just continues and
continues
and continues.
It's like when they do the handoff, the fake handoff in
exactly,
football.
That's exactly
what
it
looked like.
Play action.
Yeah.
Oh, but he must have been wondering to himself, why is nobody coming after me in the corner with the puck?
Yeah.
And but good on him, a couple crossovers to get himself into position. And then he had to get it through traffic that now had developed there in front of the net, and he put it in. So he finished it.
There's categories. There's best goal of the year. There's worst goal of the year. And that is the strangest goal.
Oddest goal of the year.
That you're going to see. And good on. It's one of those plays that you see in practice where guys just lose interest in the drill, and there's that one guy that wants to finish every play.
So I'm going to play host now. So we're at the quarter pole.
Yes.
What's been the story of the year for you?
Ooh.
Good story, bad story?
Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
When you
surviving nine games without Carey Price.
Without Carey Price.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm right in the heart of it. But Edmonton, you know, being in the position they're in once again. You know, I think that everybody thought with McDavid coming in this year that they would start to take steps forward. And we talked a little bit today already about it. I do see the light at the end of the tunnel for the first time, I think. I think that they're going in the right direction, but their record doesn't speak that way. But that, for me, has been a little surprising that they've had to suffer through injuries again the way they have.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest disappointment this year is the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah,
I expected not a team to challenge for the division. I didn't see that coming.
34 goals in 20 games.
Yeah, like, I wanted them to compete and be in games.
Yeah.
Michael Neuwirth has 3 wins, and he's top 5 in almost every goaltending category. That's how good he's been without any support.
Yeah. A team that I've seen twice in the last week, the New Jersey Devils, are a team that's really taken me by surprise, too. The way John Hines has been able to step in there and get them to play the way you just said Philadelphia needs to play has been pretty impressive. Pretty impressive how he's kind of got them to all buy in.
The Pittsburgh story's been an intriguing one too, with the struggles offensively.
But yet, team success.
Oh yeah, well they're winning close games, low scoring games, which is something you didn't necessarily give them credit for in the past.
So they're right in the middle.
Pittsburgh, this may be a good experience for them.
Pittsburgh is one of those, what do you really have here? What's the identity of the Pittsburgh Penguins? Because for the first quarter of the season, it wasn't what we've witnessed for the last 10 years.
Run-and-gun Penguins, that's for sure.
And that is the identity. When you think of the Pittsburgh Penguins, you think of Crosby, Malkin, Fleury, Letang. You know, that's their core. Those are the guys that make things tick. Kessel. And especially Crosby and Malkin. And Kessel, the addition this year. I think everybody thought they were going to just come out like gangbusters and just light things up, but it just hasn't happened that way. But they find a way.
Teams that you're still waiting to figure things out.
Anaheim?
Trying to rescue a bad start, and they're still not there yet.
No.
Vancouver Canucks. What are the Vancouver Canucks? They've been just decimated by overtime. But
aren't they a 500 team? That's where there are.
Where they
standings.
Are, yeah. But they
kind
could
of strike
be,
me as being
they
that.
Could be a lot better.
Potentially, yeah.
With any success in 3-on-3. It could be a lot better. And they're going through a bit of a change. Nashville. Only three teams have fewer regulation losses this year than the Nashville Predators.
They just continue.
They're a wild card team.
Yeah.
When you go through a start like that.
They just had back-to-back shutouts.
Yeah.
Offensively.
And the thing is, too, we looked at this a little bit before. It's, you know, there's still time for teams to climb up the ladder. And I think that's intriguing at this stage of the game. Typically,
but
at this stage, you got
U.S. Thanksgiving is always seems to be that measuring
this
stick.
This could be
and
that one
better
year where
be
a
close,
couple of teams, you know, all of a sudden make a charge and kind of eliminate that. That
Anaheim's 6 points back.
But traditionally, if you're more than four out at Thanksgiving,
so
you're not getting
right,
in.
Percentage-wise,
in the bubble.
It's not good.
No.
You'd expect Anaheim to be able to make that up.
You'd think a team like that can go on the prolonged run, you would expect. So you can sort of overcome those odds. But I don't know. They haven't shown signs of
it. It's amazing. You know, they seem to have the winning formula there. A team that looked like everybody expected them, myself included, to be right in the hunt again this year for a Stanley Cup. They were a team that I thought was going to be hard to beat in the West. They were going to get stronger, but they made a lot of changes. And in those changes, I don't know if they got better.
A club that nobody talks about right now. The San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
They're leading their division. 6-0 on this road trip. Brent Burns. Dreams of.
Well, they've got 20 points on the road this season. They're 10-3 on the road. Best in the National Hockey League. So that's been a big part of that success.
And Brent Burns is, you know, now really stapling himself as one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. He has it all. He has the big shot. He's mean. I mean, he is a huge individual. When he's on the ice, you can't move him. You can't take the puck off of him.
He is a complete defenseman.
Absolutely. You look at the plus minus, that's the one area that I'd like to see him clean up in his game. But, I mean, he is a force to play against. I mean, you talk to other players, opposition, and they say, you know, this guy is a beast. He's hard to handle.
Do we pay
And Martin much? Jones, 11 wins. Been good for them in goal.
What a great pickup talent.
Yeah.
Too much attention to points for defensemen when you talk about the best defensemen in the game?
I think you have to have it in there to a certain regard. But, yeah, you know what? Those guys that defend and do it really well don't get enough respect.
And still put up.
Yeah, you're right. They don't get enough respect.
They're within the 7 to 15.
And every team wants them.
In the NHL point
production.
Way
too much emphasis on the points part of it.
Yeah.
How come you just said we don't put enough emphasis on it, and then he says the opposite and you agree with him?
No, I'm saying we don't put enough emphasis on
the defensive side.
The defensive.
You gotta listen.
You know, the guys that shut you down.
I'm already in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mode.
You know what? But you know what? The goal scoring and the points are glamorous. You know,
it is.
Defense isn't, but it wins.
Why are you talking about Klingberg? Puts up points.
He's the whole package. Mm-hmm. He's the whole package.
Thanks to Louis DeBrusque. He'll be part of the Oilers broadcast tonight. You can watch all the games on Game Center Live.